Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hello and welcome to another Financial Times Management Blog audio interview. My name's Adam Jones. I'm here with Kevin Ayres, the European Managing Director of LinkedIn, the social networking company. I'm here really just to talk about how people use the service and pick up on some points of etiquette and the best strategies to follow. And perhaps if we start, Kevin, with a little discussion about the optimal size of a network, because people using your service have the chance to really try and build up as many people as they like. But at what point does their network become too unwieldy to effectively manage?
Yeah, we see effective size of the network is a key thing. So about after 30 to 40 connections is when you really start to have good value. And then the size really depends on how you want to use LinkedIn. Our guidance that we give is connect to people that you trust, people that you know, and people who can, you know, help with a diversity, but also have kind of shared interests and skills. We don't really promote, and this is the reason why we have the 500 plus, is connections where it's thousands.
Sorry, and the 500 plus is it's just a little marker on your profile saying you have more than 500, but they don't actually specify how many people they've got.
Exactly. We start showing publicly after 500 how many connections that you have, because we really think that the optimal number is hundreds, not thousands and thousands.
And is it the case that people tend to have one membership of one social network that they reserve for friends and family and one that they reserve for professional acquaintances?
Yes, we see that increasing much more as people are starting to have the awareness of the difference between a social network and professional network. Then we're seeing more and more people migrate and purely using professional networks as they're supposed to be, which is purely for professional, and also social networks, keeping that divide separate. Just like you do in your offline world and your real life, then that's happening more and more on the online space as people are becoming educated.
And to what extent do you see online social networking, the professional sense, being a complement or a replacement for traditional face-to-face networking?
Well, we see it more as a complement, complementary, and face-to-face networking is always going to happen. I think the most effective conversations you're going to have or interactions are going to be face-to-face. However, we can facilitate information exchange in ways that really isn't possible to do face-to-face, through our answers and, different postings that you can ask and just, the real-time effect that you can get. So we see it really as more of complementary and, extending the value and extending the realm of the conversations and information exchange that you can have.
I can imagine that once your network gets to a certain size, many users might think, I seem to have a mix of fairly loose affiliations and close affiliations, and I kind of wish I'd been able to distinguish between them, because there's always a close a group of people you might want to kind of keep the information with. Is that something that you might do? You have a kind of networks within networks in the future?
Yeah, we definitely see that, and some of the things that I've done just on my own personal networks is I've created groups, and you can create groups or you can create hidden public groups or hidden groups. And I've created a hidden group because it's just easier for me to communicate. And I think it's a great idea and feature that we're definitely going to be looking at in the future of facilitating that in a much easier way.
And one of our readers raised a query about the reliability sometimes of the references that people post on their profiles, because they suggest that they're a little bit staged managed, because, this is something that's going to be publicly available. You're hardly going to post something really negative about somebody you might want future contact with. How does that kind of question get addressed?
Well, I think with the recommendations, I mean, recommendations by nature are going to be positive. If you want to challenge a recommendation or somebody's profile, then, you know, there's an easy button that you can click on and, you know, challenge the validity of that. But, you know, we feel for the most part, you know, because the information is public amongst everybody and, you know, your connections can see, your connection can see the recommendations or other statements that you've made in your profile, that's more of a self-governing. So if there's, you're less likely to have something that's either inappropriate or untrue because it is so visible to other people that's in your immediate connection.
And are people motivated enough, invested enough to actually act as policemen themselves? Because, I mean, that's quite a big step from actually just passively consuming the information to saying, hang on, I don't think that's right.
We've seen a lot of people being active, you know, with this. And that doesn't just relate to profile. It's also, you know, you can flag a picture. If people are sending out invitations that they really don't know, then we have this, you know, more of a three strikes. If you have three people saying you don't know somebody when they send an invitation, then there's limitations put on their account. Same thing with in-mails. So we find that the community is very, very good at self-regulation.
Yeah. And in-mails being one of the forms of communication that you can initiate, there's sort of a more like a direct email between two people who don't know each other.
Correct. That's in-mail is communication amongst people outside of your network.
Right. And what about more traditional industries, more traditional companies who are slower to embrace technology and who might see more of the downsides of this kind of network where you have a situation where employees might be sharing what they would see as confidential information to try and work out a problem maybe, but the mere announcement that you've got a problem is something that they would really not like to publicise. And then also the issue of being an employee at a less technologically advanced company whose bosses might think, well, you're just hawking yourself around looking for a new job and trying to catch the eye of the recruiters. How would those... is it the case that there are companies who struggle with those sorts of issues?
Yeah, well, a couple of multi-part question there. So the first one, I would really say that, you know, people are really understanding the value of information sharing and being able to solve problems. It's not necessarily problem solving. It could also be, how can I help take my company or my, you know, maybe it's a manufacturing line you're having problems with, how can I get the productivity up? So it's not necessarily a direct problem, but how can I help optimize? And, you know, by reaching out to other people in the same industry that could be having those same challenges, what you're doing is you're facilitating a sharing of information and, you know, optimizing. Is that, you know, competitive information? I think that, you know, if you were at a conference and you were sitting down talking, those types of things would come up in a discussion group. And we always say, you know, use your best judgment, right? Don't post, you know, confidential information about, you know, here's my production rates or other things like that if that's not appropriate. So I think people need to use their best judgment. The second component of your question is around, you know, are people on LinkedIn, are their employees or their employers worried about the employees looking for jobs or being headhunted out? And we say that really, you know, this is, you know, career management is happening with and without LinkedIn. And, you know, what we really do is we really encourage the companies to make sure that they have a great place to work. You know, the mission, the values are very clear. The leadership is great. People know the direction that they're going into, and they understand that the value that they bring to the company and that they have a great culture to work in. If you have those types of things, your employees are going to want to stay, and they're also going to want to attract other people. So when they're talking to other people on LinkedIn, you know, they can mention that this is a great place to work. And so that's how we would encourage some of the other companies who may have a little uncertainty about LinkedIn, is that look at the value that's there and focus on creating a great company. That's how you retain your employees.
Kevin Ayers, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.